our whole company has the same core value, is that we're no better than our last project.
This is The Art of Construction with your host, Devin Tilley, and co-host, Kevin Keefe. Devin has built a multi-seven-figure business in the construction industry, selling windows, doors, and hardware over the past 13 years. Devin's passion for helping those around him led him to create the Art of Construction informational platform, a part of which is a fireside chat podcast with industry professionals all focused on how they apply art in their business and construction projects. Grown to an audience of over 100,000, Devin shares his strategies for what he has accomplished and creates insightful conversations with industry leaders. This is The Art of Construction, featuring your host, Devin Tilley, and co-host, Kevin Keefe.
All right, Kevin, we're going to dive in and have a fireside chat with Matt Strong, who is with the C1S Inc. Group out of Dallas.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. They have an acronym they use to kind of describe their business called ECS, which stands for Engineering, Construction, and Sustainability. So it'll be interesting to hear from Matt as to how that all pulls together in their business format and how they work with industrial and manufacturing facilities. So,
yeah, and they're all over the place, registered in several states, doing all kinds of different projects. So I'm excited to hear about a few of those. So let's dive in and have a chat with Matt.
Here we go.
What's your favorite beverage?
Coors Light.
Oh, man. The guy getting into the Rockies. I love it. We drink a lot of Coors Heavy on our softball team.
The Banquet?
Yeah, the Banquet.
Yeah, the Banquet. Yeah.
Which nobody can ever, at least in my sphere of asking that question, having been here 7 years, I haven't found anybody that's ever been able to adequately explain where that slogan came from. But there you go, the Banquet beer.
Yeah, I heard a story about this gentleman that was at, Pete Coors was at this event, and of course when they asked what beverage he wanted, he said a Coors. and I guess he held it the whole time with everyone to see the Coors logo, and every time he'd take a drink, he would like hold the logo out in front, like just kind of the ultimate marketing company, right? Like, what is it, but everybody knows of it.
The consummate marketer.
Yep.
Tell us the favorite place you've traveled.
I would have to say Yellowstone is one of my favorite places. Just got back from there this summer.
Awesome. Give us one experience from that.
Oh, the Old Faithful at 4 a.m. was pretty awesome. I was the only person out there. It was just incredible. You know, this tower of water shooting up 200 feet in the air. Can't beat it.
Awesome. Tell us your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena.
That would have to be my two boys. They're 11 and 13. They've got their life centers around baseball right now. They're both playing select league, so that's all it takes. You know, that's a full-time job right there in itself.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Great. Well, we got to know a little bit about Matt Strong, who works with the C1S Inc. company out of Dallas, Texas. Tell us about your company, and let's get into a fireside chat.
All right. Thank you, Deb. Yeah, Matt Strong, C1S Group out of Dallas, Texas. We've been in business for 17 years. Started out as a pure engineering company doing mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and process design for industrial and manufacturing clients here locally. We've migrated through the years, through the 17 years, into everything from sustainability and LEED certification, and into now we're construction, and we've all tied it together into a design-build approach where we are basically a one-stop shop for manufacturing clients that are typically have existing facilities, aged existing facilities all across the country.
Awesome. And so you guys really specialize in design build and with existing structures. And tell us about on your website, it has really laid out well about the ECS acronym.
Yeah, the ECS, it stands for Engineering, Construction, and Sustainability. And basically it's our business model. It's a wheel. And what it represents is that we can go into a project, any need that a client may have. And let's say a client needs an air handler changed out. It's 20 years old and it's on its, you know, last rung of usefulness. And we can go in, we can design the replacement for that. That would be the E. And then we can price it and execute the construction and the actual installation. And then after that, we move into our sustainability mode, where we will basically analyze the impact of what it's done and move on to next steps and options within that plant.
Cool. So tell us really what your passion is when it comes to your clients when you're focusing on all those different assets.
Yeah, my passion is really getting to know our clients. I like to, you know, everything's from a personal standpoint, and I, you know, our whole company has this same core value, is that we're no better than our last project. And so we really strive to do whatever it takes to meet the needs of our client, to execute the project, to bring it in on time, in budget. And, you know, basically that tees up the next line of work for us. We do roughly 95% repeat business for our clients. Most of our clients are Fortune 500. So, you know, it's difficult to get in to these clients, but once we're in, we're basically there. We're embedded within their facilities and their operations.
Now, how much of your overall business is working within existing production lines and making these changes as things are still being produced? So you're trying to minimize downtime versus a complete wing or building or partial building overhaul?
Sure. That's a great question, because we basically split our business, I would say 30% on the, we call it industrial services. That's where we're just in on a continuous basis. And 70% would be on the other side, new equipment relocations or a facility relocation or even just a facility overhaul. We just finished a $10 million project for a client that was moving from California. They wanted to move to Texas. And so we went out, looked at their site in California, evaluated, understood what it would take to basically facilitize that plant in Texas at a site, and basically just moved them and their operation to Dallas.
In that type of a scenario, are you beginning with new equipment in Dallas or in Texas, or are you taking the equipment from California to Texas in that circumstance?
It can be a combination. Whatever the owner has that makes sense. We've done it multiple ways. An owner may have equipment that they want to bring with them. An owner may have equipment that they've purchased and is having delivered. Or in some cases, we will actually purchase equipment for them and have it delivered and installed. So again, we're a small company. We don't get tied up in the bureaucracy and the layers of purchasing and just acquisition and getting approvals that larger companies have. So we can make those quick decisions for owners and act on their behalf and make things happen. So we're very flexible in that regard.
Cool. Makes sense.
So tell us about the most unique construction project you guys have done as of late.
Oh, that's another segment of our business that we don't often really advertise. There's an area in Dallas called Deep Ellum. It's where a lot of bars and restaurants are. And so we've had a string of kind of one-off projects down in that area. And it started off with a sculpture, a 40-foot sculpture called the Traveling Man. And I believe that's on our website. It's basically a 40-foot stainless steel animated character. And so that was a pretty cool project that we did and had a lot of high visibility. In fact, you'll see it on anytime the Cowboys are playing or any of the, you know, the large professional sports, they'll zoom in on that and show that on national TV. And then we've also done a 4,500 seat music venue called the Bomb Factory. So that was actually true to its name. It was a bomb factory back in World War II. We ripped the roof off that thing, put on entire new roof, put on a second story, and it's now one of the top rated music venues in Dallas.
Tribe, big news for you. We're growing, and we are expanding our offerings to you to help you grow your business. From show 82, Audrey Grubesic was on the other side of the mic as getting interviewed. Now she's here to be the host on what are you going to tell us about for exciting new information coming into the new year here.
Well, we are welcoming our new podcast called System Build Lifestyles. We look forward to you tuning in. You're not only going to have traditional construction conversation on AOC, now on SBL, you're going to have offsite construction and ways to improve your lifestyle.
I'm so excited to go on this journey with you, Audrey. We have all kinds of great interviews coming up, and it's going to just be awesome to enhance our story and talk about modular and offsite construction through System Build Lifestyle.
Don't forget to listen.
So that's pretty versatile, I'll tell you what.
That's for
everything
sure.
From sculptures to music venues and industrial spaces.
We don't advertise that. That's basically doing it for an existing client that asked us to do something for them.
Sure.
Great.
On the flip side, what was the most challenging project you guys have been part of?
Challenging. You know, I would say our most recent project for this company from California, it's a plastic a bottle recycling plant. So we had to, again, look at all the various components. This plant utilizes a tremendous amount of power. Just working with the local utilities was a challenge. This plant uses about upwards of 20,000 amps of power. That was one of the biggest challenges, is just getting the power to the site, and then, you know, coordinating these huge pieces of equipment, delivery, the foundations. We had to beef up and really increase the capability of all these foundations for the equipment that wasn't anticipated. And, you know, we took it on as a design build project. So those were multiple challenges that we had during that construction progress.
And the scope of your work essentially is everything from the beginning to the completion, correct? In other words, you're operating as, you know, the pre-planning group and then potentially construction all the way through to the completion.
That's correct. In fact, this recycling plant, we got a lead off of our website. And so we got the call and basically talked to the owner. We flew out to California to talk to him, walk through his site and see his operation. And basically from that point developed a scope of work. Then that moved into construction documents and then the budget. We went through several iterations of pricing for them to get it down into a number that was acceptable for their investors. And then the whole construction process and then managing equipment move in and hook up. And then finally, we're right now in the process of finalizing commissioning and startup, and they're moving into operation now. So that project there was soup to nuts, initial, you know, thought process of a project, down to handing the keys over and them actually making product and shipping it out the door.
And then what was the overall time frame with that as an example from that initial website visit to point where it's they have the keys turned over?
That was right at a year.
Gotcha.
Started talking to them in August of last year, and it wrapped up August, September of this year. So we can accelerate projects. That's one thing that we really work with clients on. We work in tight deadlines like shutdowns for plants where they have, say, a 3-day shutdown during Christmas or Thanksgiving. We also, you know, of course, have the extended duration projects like this recycling plant.
How do you handle manpower? Do you have a go-to group of subcontractors that you're dealing with, or is it different on every project, or kind of how do you manage all of those aspects?
Yeah. As part of our construction, we only manage construction. We don't have any self-perform teams or individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a great group of subcontractors that we've gone to and developed a great relationship with. So depending on the technical requirements of a job, we will go to certain subs, and some other projects don't require as good of subcontractors, but you know, it just depends on the type of project, on who we reach out to.
So, Devin, here, to understand this right, you guys are all in the office facilitating the ECS model and working with subs or the people out in the field to kind of package all the services together, right?
Yeah, that's right. We subcontract all of our actual hands-on work in the field. But we do have superintendents and construction managers that are in the field day-to-day overseeing the installations, overseeing the various scopes of work. And we also have a very robust safety program. So we have a director of safety that is on visits the sites. He does weekly safety inspections, job talks, so far, knock on wood, we've had very few incident safety incidents. Very happy to say that. So, yeah, as far as subcontractors, we do have different levels of subcontractors depending on the type of job. We work in clean rooms for semiconductor and pharmaceutical companies, so that typically takes a higher-end type of a sub. And then, you know, we do have other less technical-type trades that we'll utilize.
It's amazing what you guys accomplished there and all the cool projects. Thanks for telling us the story. As a learning organization, if there's one thing to help build the art of construction, what's that one thing that you want the Art of Construction audience to hear?
You got to have great, great core values, and those great core values will lead to great people. You know, if you have a great team together, you can do just about anything.
Awesome. Thanks so much for telling us your story, Matt.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, man. What a conversation, and what a company that really has a focus, but a pretty big focus when you talk about ECS. Engineering, construction, sustainability, a lot of the not-so-sexy look stuff, but the very impactful stuff in a construction project.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. They can go into an active production facility and come in and rework a section while the rest of the business is operating on a normal basis and do it in kind of a seamless manner.
Yeah, and awesome. I love how he talks about how improving facilities and make their customers look good. Like, that's really where the business, you know, they talk about drive for show and putt for dough on the golf course. There's something that really resonates here with me when you talk about what his company is really working on and having those great core values and great people to put it all together.
Yeah, no doubt, because at the end of the day, I mean, it's if your customers are happy, then that cost that you expended becomes legitimized or, you know, a value versus you paid money and you got, you know, you got it for a little less maybe than what you thought. But if it doesn't work, then what did you really get?
Yeah. And I kind of wanted to have a conversation today as these podcasts are global and timeless when you listen to this. But to paint the picture where we're sitting here today, we're at year-end 2017 and going through all those year-end reviews and talking through what we should do in 2018. And, you know, shout out to Matt and his team. We had some technology goof-ups here, but, you know, we're always driving forward here, and we appreciate them working hard with us and putting that together. So what we're going to talk about today in closing is what we're changing is instead of the whole year-long goals, and whenever you happen to listen to this episode, you may be at year-end like I am right now and trying to fit everything in to make next year perfect, or you may be in the middle of the year saying, man, I haven't achieved all my goals if you set up a goal that you need to do all year long, or maybe you walk down a hallway and a door opened and you took it, so now your goals are all up in the air and you're saying, what should I do next? So what we're doing with my tribe next year is we're breaking it down into 90-day windows. And what I mean by that is instead of a launch party for the whole year and everything is set and this is how it's going to be, we're looking at snapshots and this is what it's going to be for the next 90 days. And you have to find where your company is in the evolution as you craft and figure things out. There's different times and periods where you have to scale it up and look at your goals. So, Kevin, would you say the Tasmanian Devon has really grown and pushed all of us forward to say sometimes when you may have the reset or the regroup, you might need to relook at how you do that?
No, absolutely. And I think when you look at Matt's business as an example of coming into an existing facility and changing things up, you can't do the whole place all at once. You got to do it in some bite-sized pieces that are going to make sense. And 90 days is something that I think most of us as human beings can identify, you know, in a much better way than a full year. Plus, guess what? The time comes a lot quicker. So you got to get off the dime and really focus and get, you know, get things in place so that at the end of the day, you know, that new production line or whatever it may be is really running instead of, yeah, we're still working on that, you know?
Have I ever asked you the question, how you eat an elephant?
I think it's probably one bite at a time, but I'm not sure.
Well, and the reality is a lot of those things is you cut corners on some of these very, very important things, engineering, construction, and sustainability. Like, sustainability is the word that really resonates with me. When you talk about a builder has to have a warranty for whatever, the 1 year, and do you think about that 1 year period? Or do you think about the sustainability to build a building that's going to be here a lot longer than you? That's a really hard question when you look yourself in the mirror and say, I got to pay the bills and make this all work.
Yeah, because it's easy on the entry, but it's got to work, right? And it's got to work in both the near and the long term. And focusing on those types of things in a shorter time frame helps you, I think, end with a better result over the long haul as well.
So pretty cool what their company will take on sculptures to big, massive companies. But back to their core of what they do, of the ECS model, of three things that really make or break a construction project, or whether it's new, old, you know, moving forward, as we're always talking about, you know, how to push forward with technology. These things are really important and very hard to mix technology, but so useful when you talk about AI and all the things when it comes to how do you on engineering have it on paper to where when you construct that, but then it's going to last for a long time as well. So I think they're definitely taking on the things that are not so easy, but so important.
No doubt about it. I mean, it's one of those things that, as Matt described, you've got to be able to have a process that's going to, you know, going to be tangible, it's going to work, then you can go back to and model it so that, you know, you're driving for that basis of making your customers look good. I mean, I think that's a good way to define the outcome and then find the pieces in between to make it work.
And making themselves look good. They reached out to us and they plowed through of our technology and they were here. They were partners with us. Even when we had some technology, we were moving to the new AOC corporate offices and putting in this new podcast studio. And, you know, with change comes complications. But they understood that. And that's what I really give a big shout out to their team to say, we worked through it. You know, the engineering wasn't quite right on the art of construction, and the construction part really boils down to communication, and we kept the communication going. So hopefully we have the sustainability of this podcast to live forever and be a tool for them to help their grow as their business, which is the whole goal of our premise of design here, right?
Absolutely. Therein lies the connection.
Awesome. Well, thanks for telling us your story, and best of luck to you in growing your business and being super successful with the ECS model. Hey, Tribe, as a special bonus to this episode, I wanted to give props to a book that is currently influencing me and how I do business. And that book is Traction by Gino Wickman. Read a quote on that book here. This book is a must for any business owner and their management team. Traction provides a powerful, practical, and simple system for running your business. Dan Sullivan, president and founder of The Strategic Coach. So, Traction. I want to go back where I've talked several times about The E-Myth Revisited, which was an influential, game-changing book for me. So you definitely want to read The E-Myth Revisited with Michael Gerber. That really puts some good stuff, but then Traction takes it to a whole nother level. So one of the examples I'd want to talk about is the organizational charts on E-Myth. Awesome. But as you scale and run your business, Traction talks about the rocks, about getting the right person in the right place and kind of owning 5 to 7 of those items. So they have the activity logs and all these awesome tools in that book that you can put into practice in your business to help take it to the next level as I've been growing mine. So taking these different books and linking them together is what I talk about on my Full Life Perspective presentation. So The Go-Giver, The 10X Rule, all these amazing books that I want to kind of talk to you guys about. And I would love your feedback on books Look for that. Hit us up on the message board of those golden nuggets. But you kind of got to run through those and work on those in your framework and how they work for your business. I know there's several tools of just give me the bullet points, but we all have different bullet points and we all tick and think differently. But that was one thing that linking books together, as I've been taught by my coaches, is that you got to constantly be learning and reading. So Traction by Geno Wickman has all kinds of great tools, and they have step up a level. They have the EOS operating system where now there's people that have will help you run that system. So two things we don't have enough of is time and money. But as I was listening to the Contractor Fight podcast, I loved how he was interviewing the guest where he talked about how contractors will, you know, buy the new truck and then lift it and get the decals and then get a new skid steer. And then, you know, I've seen a lot of them, then they got to get a new boat and to pull it. And so they'll spend all this money on that stuff, but then they don't want to spend the money on a website, the tools. But these books really help you paint the picture of really those valuable tools in your toolbox. So Tribe, as I've talked, E-Myth Revisited with Michael Gerber and Traction by Geno Wickman. As an informational entrepreneur, super valuable resources and powerful tools in my toolbox. Check them out. Love your feedback. Cheers, Tribe.